This is Metalix with your host, B-Lo.
I didn't want to keep you with too much dead air, but I'm having this captivating conversation here with Celador, who just arrived. They're getting acquainted with the cats. We're getting them their drinks. They're getting settled down here. Chris and Nick from the band Celador, which you've heard some of their new music in the past couple of weeks. Celador, thank you guys for being in studio today. I am quite well. So we'll just launch right into it, I suppose, since that's kind of where we were at. Starting on my left, so your right, then. Go ahead and introduce yourselves to the audience and tell us what you do in Celador.
I am Chris Peterson. I'm joined by my drummer, Nick McAllister.
What's up, guys? Nick McAllister, drummer for Celador.
All right. Now, Chris, this was really dumb on my part, but I didn't have your mic actually turned up at the very beginning of your introduction. So
No problem. You
are vocals and guitar for Celador, the creative lifeblood of the band. Is that an appropriate way to
describe
you?
Yes, I consider myself a guitar player first and foremost. Actually, I consider myself a songwriter. I'm just a song maker. That's what I go by first and foremost. I think a singer. Most people that call themselves singer, that takes a very specific personality, and I mostly sing out of necessity, as mentioned. So I like to think I'm making progress in the vocal instrument, but I'm the singer, guitarist, founder, manager. I just do whatever needs to be done.
Well, that's actually very interesting because Celador has been on Metalix previously. You guys were on Metalix back when we moved to the home studio here, which Hermes, one of the Metalix assistant cats here, is right up in your business. He's like
totally
directly in Chris's face.
That's okay. He's just getting friendly. I did see that, as you mentioned and warned, that he might be going after the water, my glass of water here that I got next to me. He's investigating it, but I don't think he's taken a drink yet. So I'm willing to share. I'm not that thirsty. I just need this for a little lubrication, but we'll see what happens. I hope his mouth is clean.
He's a cat. Remember where he licks.
Right.
And that I can't make him take cat mouthwash or brush his cat teeth
Chris
or something
likes pussy,
like
so
that.
It's okay.
Now, for a comment like that, and for any kind of talking into the mic, you guys, you'll want to remember to get right up on this thing because these aren't the expensive KBPI mics that we used to have back in the day. These are a little less sensitive, so you'll want to get right up on these when you're talking about Chris and his love for cats, or as Nick would say,
pussy, yeah. Pussy, yes. Duly noted.
Now, you guys recently, you showed up just a few minutes before we really got this interview started, so I'll go ahead and lay out the same ground rules for you on the air, as the listeners should know. But, you know, swearing is totally fine. It's the internet, so it's unregulated in that regard. So, you know, say whatever's on your mind. I don't think you're going to drop any racist or homophobic stuff, but if that's what you choose to do, I might say something and, hope that you don't remember where I live later on.
I think we'll be okay. It doesn't, that sort of thing doesn't tend to come out of us naturally. Yeah.
I don't think that it would.
The vulgarities will probably be kept to a minimum. I don't tend to swear too much on the norm. But you know, I will speak freely, and if it needs to be said, I'll say it.
Well, and the new album Off the Grid, the new Celador, it doesn't have a whole lot of swearing on it, from what I've noticed.
I don't think it has any.
I don't know
if any Celador song that we've ever played has swearing. I don't even know if I've ever sworn during a show. Have I, Nick?
I can't remember.
I don't think I really have. It just I don't tend to really veer on the it's, I have nothing against it, you know. I guess I just sort of speak in a non-cursory way. We don't have any swear words in our lyrics. We're just not really a swearing band. I don't know. It's just I've never really thought about that. That's the first time that's ever come up, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it helps make your music a little more digestible to a general audience, you know. What's the reception been like for Off the Grid? It's been out for almost a week now, right?
Today's Monday.
It's been out a week and a few days. Yep.
A week and a half.
We've been getting press reviews on the album for probably a month now. The label was good about sending it out. Feedback has been phenomenal, actually. Given the style of music we play, the state of the scene nowadays, the fact that it's been a very, very long time since we last put out an album, I honestly had no idea what to expect. I was excited just for the fact that it was finally coming, that it's finally coming out. But, the feedback has been phenomenal. We've been seeing a lot of 9 out of 10 ratings, 10 out of 10 ratings, perfect ratings, 5 out of 5 stars. I try to post everything that's been coming to me, either from the label or from these press items myself. But, it's been phenomenal. Reviews are still coming in. Fans have finally now been reaching out to us, telling us what they think, because it's now been out for a full week on anywhere you can listen to music. I cannot complain. It's been great.
Well, let's start with one thing. Who is your label now?
We are on Scarlet Records. They're based out of Italy. I've been a fan of the label for years. Honestly, this is a label we should have hit up 2 years ago when we first really started working on this album. We had some delays. We actually were working with a management that was soliciting our band and our last EP on our fourth to a variety of labels and a variety of methods of distributing the album. We ended up honing it in down to a couple certain labels, and just long story short, after months of negotiations, it didn't work out. So we ended up finding ourselves back at ground zero just at the summer, fall 2016. We had this full album completely finished, but we're back at ground zero. I personally got in touch with Scarlet Records. This was a label that I was thinking we should have been in touch with, as mentioned, a while earlier. So I finally got in touch with them, and within a day of sending them the album, they were in talks with us about a deal. They said they loved the album. They wanted to put it out. We were very lucky to contact them when we did, because they were setting up their spring release schedule exactly that week. And they were not only able to sign us very quickly, but they were able to release the album, relatively speaking, very, very quickly, within 2-3 months. So it's been great.
Well, that's awesome. Celador's had a lot of experience with labels. They were formerly on Metal Blade at one point, and
yep,
now Scarlet. And you've been kind of in the in-between area as well. So it must really emphasize a lot about how much you must do yourself when you're in a band now in 2017.
Yeah, believe me, I learned that more than ever within the last 2 years. And then seeing how things ended up turning out for the better, in all honesty. I think this was third time's a charm. This was really the third label that we actively started really getting into close discussions with, and they ended up giving us the best deal. It took time, persistence, but we learned a lot of lessons. At least me being the oldest, longest running guy in this band now, I learned very, very valuable lessons about that sort of thing. But yeah, to sum it up, you really need to put your best foot forward and try to do as much of it yourself, because that's how you get things done.
But labels really help when it comes to like distribution, and that seems to be the main thing that labels do for anyone. I mean, the band Darkest Hour, they crowdfunded an album that their whole effort began like last year. And they had raised enough money to basically do it all themselves, and in the end still ended up with kind of a distribution deal through Southern Lord. So in the end, you still kind of need a label's help, but 2017 is nothing like 2007 or 1997, for that matter.
I fully agree on labels are still relevant nowadays, because labels have established promotional outlets, methods of distribution, methods of getting your album to people that are important that can then lead you to other opportunities. So don't get me wrong.
You're not
anti-label. I think that's fine if you want to completely release an album yourself. Like, we even have experience with that, because we did that originally with Honor Fourth. Honor Fourth has since been picked up with a distribution deal, actually. It should be available about as widely as Off the Grid is. So that's good news. All the copies that we personally have are basically gone, so they're now all distributed at local indie stores or websites, blah, blah, blah. So when I was saying, you know, that I've learned the importance of doing things yourself, I mostly mean in terms of internal band affairs and band management. I think that to any other band leaders out there, band founders or active members of any sorts of bands, you don't really want to relinquish too much of your responsibilities within the band. You should never just kind of go hands off and just pass it on to everybody else. I don't think no man is an island. Nobody can do everything themselves, but you do have to learn sort of like, you know, to cooperate and take criticism and interpretation from other people and learn how to take advice. But don't ever get complacent. Don't ever get lazy with getting your music out there and accomplishing what you want to accomplish. It doesn't matter what level of band you are. You always have to put your best foot forward. And as mentioned, I personally learned a little bit about the truths and untruths of that statement.
Metalix on Adobe Howl, the band Celador in studio with me. My name is Bilo, and this is Metalix on Adobe Howl. You just heard Chris, the vocals and guitar player from Celador. Nick is here in studio with me. What's up, Nick?
Well, what's going on, buddy? I'm just hanging out.
letting Chris do as much talking as possible.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm the drummer. Nobody wants to hear me talk, which is fine, but I just hang out in the back and just look good. So that's
not always true.
Well, it's okay.
Sometimes I think that the drummer doesn't always get a fair shake when it comes to interviews,
I would kind of agree with that, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Nick came in. He remembered the old Metalix assistant cat who got promoted to a much better position elsewhere on another radio show. But now we have two more assistants, and Nick is getting acquainted with them as well. And so tell me about the journey from Honor Forth to Off the Grid from your perspective.
Well, it's definitely been a journey, I would say. Right before Honor Forth came out is when I started working with Chris, and it's been I can't even remember how many years. So it's had its ups and downs, and we've hit some snags, and it's just there was a bit of a hiatus, and we just took some time to really figure out which direction, you know, we wanted the band to go, and just wrote and recorded and really. Just really figured out what we wanted, and it's been a roller coaster, and I've enjoyed every moment of it, that's for sure. So,
well, we're about to enjoy a few moments off of Off the Grid. Let's do that right now. We'll listen to a couple tracks. We'll come back and talk with Celador. On previous podcasts, you might have heard me mention that we don't play the music. We've kind of fixed that up a little bit, so we'll have some of Celador's music on this podcast, as well as the Adobe Radio replay, which we've always had the music there. But the first track we'll hear is Faceless Dark. And I know, actually, that Celador has a track-by-track breakdown of every song on Off the Grid. You have it posted on your Facebook. But kind of give us a preview here, Chris, of Faceless Dark.
Well, that song is the Japanese bonus track, actually. There is a story behind it. There is a story to that song, actually. And on the track-by-track breakdown, I actually don't go into detail, or I don't describe that one because it's sort of just a bonus track on the Japanese release. But that song's been around for a while. That's actually an older song that has been in our repertoire for at least 7 years. It was basically me trying to write like a Trivium styled song. At this point, I remember metalcore and thrashy bands were kind of starting to come up, but this, we're talking like 2007, 2008-ish. I was like, man, I want to try to see what a Celador version of a darker thrash chorus song would sound like. And that's what we came up with. And we ended up re-recording it. When the label mentioned that we needed a Japanese bonus track, we ended up re-recording most of the parts for it for this new album. So we added a bunch of keyboards. There's keyboards in it now.
Incoming cat.
It doesn't have as much of the high-pitched vocals. It's got more of the aggressive style vocal technique that I guess I do here and there. Especially when I first started singing, I kind of veered in that direction because I just flat out didn't have that much range. But It's a great song. It's got some dark lyrics. It's one of my favorite guitar solos that I've ever played, too, recorded right there in the middle.
All right. So I think what I've accidentally done here is load up the tracks in backwards order. So that will be a unique experience for you here on Metalix. Idobe Howell, Faceless Dark, the band Celador, in studio with me tonight. Celador on Metalix. The track is called Good Enough, and the album Off the Grid. You can go get it now anywhere that records are sold or MP3s are distributed, right? Celador has like a Bandcamp and stuff.
We got everything that's out there, I believe. I think. I'm assuming I'm updated on all the social media sites. We just recently started regularly updating our long-forgotten Twitter account. Actually, we had a setting on our Facebook that was directly linking all our Facebook posts to the Twitter, so I just nobody had logged into it in a few years. So with this release now, we're starting to monitor it. At least I am. I've been kind of making sure everything's looking okay over there.
Oh,
flowing
hey.
Smoothly. So, yeah, we're on all the sites out there. We got a Bandcamp. We got we still got the Big Cartel merch page. So we got basically two merch stores. Check both of those out. We have a SoundCloud with a lot of not just tracks off of our EP and our albums, but a lot of small little funsies, fun stuff we did, fun one-offs over the years. So
Sound what is that? I have no idea what
SoundCloud.
That is. Oh no, man, that's a that boy. What a strange company. I've never actually heard of that one. But on Twitter, you can find Celador at Celador Band or Facebook /CELLADOR. Assuming, of course, that you love what you hear and you haven't already heard of Celador. But everyone has already heard of Celador, right? Right?
The depends on your scene.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, see, Nick's got it. That's Nick you just heard. And Chris, vocal/guitar, is also with me. Two guys from the band Celador. Here on Metalix, Adobe Howell, we air every Monday night, 9 to 11 o'clock Eastern Time. And thank you guys for coming in, visiting the cats, having a drink with me. Cheers, right, Nick?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
Specifically calling out Nick on the cheers because we're the only ones drinking beer, but Chris is drinking water because he is a health-conscious dude.
On occasion, this is an alcohol sabbatical. The way I drink, I need these every so often to stay alive. So.
Clear out the old liver?
Yeah. I figure that, yeah, it doesn't hurt to avoid the hard stuff for a while and be productive. And what better time than when we have an album releasing? So
we have been known to be a band that likes to drink, so...
And, well, that's not the worst thing to be known for. I mean, it generally means that you can find the band at the bar before or after the set, right?
Absolutely.
And you guys go to places like Japan, which sounds like a super awesome place to play.
We did go there once. That was with the old lineup years ago. We played one festival, but we spent about 3-4 days there. And yeah, it was basically a drunken binge for me, aside from when we played. But after that, it was a great time.
Well, that's actually not where I meant to take the conversation when we came out of the break. Really, what I wanted to talk about was, Chris, you are, and I mean, I've known you at least informally on social media and somewhat formally through the show. And just seeing you at other shows, talking to you, saying what's up, things like that. I've known you for about 3 or 4 years now, and I can say confidently that you are like a fitness fanatic, dude. You are all
There's
about
truth to that.
Staying in shape, man. You're always at the gym. You're always eating healthy. How much
those
of
are,
that?
Those are true statements.
How much of that do you think contributes to your ability to write and play creatively?
Quite a bit, actually. That's a very big part of my life. I try to separate the two. You know, one side is not always doing the other thing. The gym thing is not always coinciding with the music thing. But those are both equally big passions in my life. But I definitely think that they contribute to. I mean, you need blood thrown. Flowing through the brain to write music. So. And you know, now that I'm a singer, one thing that I really noticed when I first started singing, actually, is how much of a workout it is in itself when you're singing and playing at the same time. I do remember in the early days at band rehearsals, when I first started singing, I would be dripping wet in sweat. I mean, I still am dripping wet in sweat when I get off stage for shows, but that's, Ooh. You know, that's a little bit more, a lot of people can really relate to that anyway, but it's a huge workout. And so obviously, things like cardio, like if you're a runner or if you have a lot of endurance and stamina and you maintain these sorts of things, you're going to be a much better singer. Singing's all about breathing. Singing's it's all about using your body. So I think having a gym routine and eating healthy is going to directly translate to being a good musician and a good songwriter. I mean, you got a fully functioning brain. You got a fully functioning blood system. It definitely helps.
Well, when you're in the gym and you're really like working out, you're getting into your cardio or your weights or whatever, because I trust that you have a super well-balanced routine which covers everything. What are you listening to, Chris?
I'm listening to 80s pop music. That's why we have a good enough cover on the... I'm not even joking. I listen to a lot of 80s pop artists nowadays, like Madonna, Tiffany, George Michael, and Cyndi Lauper. And that's what gave me the idea to put that song Good Enough on this album Off the Grid. I was listening to that song around the time when we were beginning the recording process for Off the Grid. I sang along to it a little bit, you know, whenever I can in the car on the way, you know, just kind of humming it. It just hit me that I think we could have make it into a good cover song. So, yeah, I listen to my musical taste. I'm no longer the true metal purist guy. You know, I don't have the long hair anymore. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older, but my music tastes have evolved. I still listen to a lot of power metal, speed metal, the thrashy stuff, death metal, a lot of retro stuff. I love 80s hair metal, but you know, it's expanded into other styles that I've always neglected over the years just because I was, you know, I was this true metal, like, ugh, that's stupid country music, ugh, pop music, what? Electronic? I like all that stuff now. You know, sites nowadays like Spotify, Google Play, I do have a Google Play membership, so it's great to kind of just search through that and, you know, maybe get a little nostalgic and reminisce through like 90s alternative stuff that I actually do remember growing up that I wasn't a fan of back then but I'm more partial to these days. So
that's hilarious to me because country, pop, and electronic are basically the three genres that I cannot stand. Like, I can deal with rap and hip-hop to some degree. Possibly 1% of everything that's ever been released in those genres altogether is somehow good to me. But I will never, ever get into... I can't say never, ever. I have constantly proven myself wrong. But as of now, 2017, this is what? March 20th? Yes, March 20th, 2017. I have no definite pop, definite country, or electronic music anywhere on my phone.
Country's probably the biggest stretch. I don't know why I said that. It's only a very few songs. In fact, country music's one of the genres that I probably have the most beef with being in a metal band because country music to me over the decades sounds exactly the same. You can show me a country song from the 80s and in my opinion, as long as the production's good, I couldn't guess if it came out in 2010 or 1986, some of these songs. And what I hate is country music can get away with that, but then in the metal genre, genres like power metal and traditional heavy metal, they get so much beef about being done before. Oh, it's already been done. It's been done before. Yeah, well, then why does country music get away with it? So, I mean, I do like country. I like a couple country songs. I'm probably the reverse opposite. It's very hard for me to find rap and R&B. Well, not R&B. Let's say rap and hip-hop. There's not very many artists I can really get into. It might just be my personal preference. There is some R&B that I'm into, actually. I love Bruno Mars, actually, a lot, too. I do like Bruno Mars. I don't know if you want to call him pop or R&B or Motown or whatever, but I like Bruno Mars a lot. But yeah, these other genres I listen to probably as much as metal nowadays. But country music, I guess, it's only a few songs, really. I could see the lack of enthusiasm for it.
The aversion towards it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we're here in Denver, and, you know, this is somewhere in between Texas and California, and to people in New York and all along the East Coast, which is mostly where Adobe Radio has listenership, all of that, like, it's all just country music territory the further west you get. So we're proud to represent something other than that here on Metalix. I, Dobie Howell. I think, actually, what we should do right now is represent more non-country music with some more Celador from Off the Grid out now, wherever you can buy it. Does that sound good, Nick? Nick?
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah? Nick, since, unfortunately, you haven't had that much time to talk lately, I would really love your opinion about Off the Grid. What's your favorite song on this track?
That's such a hard question to answer. There's so many. I mean, I love the whole album. It's a blast for me to play. If you couldn't tell, we like to play fast, and I really do like to play fast. Everything about the just playing with the band is just such a good time for me. It's definitely a workout. Why we were mentioning it. I probably can't pick one. Definitely one of the songs I love is "Shimmering Status."
We'll hear that.
It's so catchy. Chris's vocals, the guitars, I mean, you just name it. The drum part is particularly my favorite, obviously, but yeah, it's that. It comes down to that. Break Heresy is a great one. The whole album's catchy. It's fun to play, and I haven't got sick of it. I even listen to it, you know, in the car or on the way to work or you name it, wherever. So it's tough to pick one.
That sounds like the mark of a good album. So Celador, the new album Off the Grid. We're basically playing the tracks from back to front. This means war on Metalix. New music from Celador on Metalix. That track, my personal favorite, which might be a surprise to the guys in Celador who are in studio with me. Belo on Metalix, Idobe Howell. That track is called Swallow Your Pride, and the new album, Off the Grid. Oh, we are accidentally playing the tracks from back to front for you tonight and kind of talking about the whole album as it is Celador's second time in studio. Thank you guys for being here twice.
And I don't think that's such a bad thing, playing the album backwards to front, because we got a chance to talk about Faceless Dark at the very beginning there. That's actually, that was the Japanese bonus track. I've never talked about that song yet with anybody, so that's some exclusive material for this interview. Talk about Faceless Dark. I didn't even talk about it on the track-by-track breakdown.
Is it only people in Japan who can get that track?
As far as I know right now, on iTunes, I don't think it's there. No. That's a Japanese exclusive. I mean, the CDs are more expensive there, so you got to provide them with exclusive content to entice them to buy that CD rather than importing a North American version. As far as I know, it's only people in Japan who buy the CD who have access to that track.
All right.
So that's pretty cool. It's good to talk about it.
Hell yeah. I mean, we're always happy for any kind of Japanese audience we can get here on Metalix, especially because it's almost 9 p.m. here Mountain Time, but it's like 7 a.m. wherever anyone is in Japan right now. They're listening to Metalix as they get ready for work, possibly as they drive into work on their super internet radio prepared cars. There in Tokyo or anywhere else in Japan,
so. You know, they have actually a really famous, longtime heavy metal radio DJ slash music writer there. That's why I just grabbed my phone real quick. I was going to try to find his name because Scarlett informed me that his name begins with an M. I can't remember it right now. I'll probably post about it on our websites now that I'm talking about it. He ranked us as his number 3 favorite album of the month, which is apparently I think his name's Matsu Ito. Matsu Ito, I think is his name. But real big radio DJ over there has been giving us a little bit of support. So we're really excited about that.
I'm still kind of looking up his name. Masanori Ito, music critic?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Hey. Yeah. All right. It brings up his picture here when I bring him up on
yeah,
Google.
He's
that's some
very
big time.
Famous in Japan. Yeah.
You know, they don't bring up Belo's picture when you Google Belo.
Belo.
In fact, I'm going to go ahead and Google B space L O.
Hopefully, Google doesn't automatically try to correct you. Did you mean J Lo?
The copyrighted name Belo refers to the city of Buffalo.
What the? That's weird.
Excuse me.
Let's go hang out in Belo.
And
it's
used
tonight
by Selmost Industries founder and blah 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 blah. I'm not gonna advertise someone else here with my own damn brand name. That's unfortunate. You know,
I think we've all Googled our own names at some point.
I honestly have never Googled Belo up until right now. We crossed the border at Niagara Falls in order to catch Belo live on stage in Belo. But Belo should
mascot.
Not refer to Buffalo, which is a most honorable, awesome city. I love Toronto, which is the other side of Niagara Falls. But I've never actually been to Buffalo. Have you guys been to Buffalo?
We did. We opened for Bullet for My Valentine there. We did a mini tour there. We did a mini tour with those guys, and that was the very first show of that mini tour with them, and we didn't know what to expect because they had such a different, at the time, their sound and audience we thought was going to be so much different than what a band like Celador would appeal to. But wow, we actually had a phenomenal experience playing Buffalo. So I have fond memories of Buffalo. It's very cold, but you know, shit talking aside, it's a great city.
Well, and I should have introduced Celador in studio with me. Chris was the member you just heard, but also Nick is here with me. Nick, say what's up.
What's up?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
All right. Nick and I are the only ones drinking, and Chris is being super healthy over here.
I'm in full detox mode. I got about 2 weeks, 2 weekends left, then I'll be out and on the prowl, so Everybody in Denver will be seeing me again. Hopefully I don't get banned from any places this time.
Will Celador be on tour in those 2 weeks?
No, not anytime soon. Possibly in the summer. We're still communicating with our agency. The real push this time around is we're trying to find something in Europe and Japan. We don't have an agency yet lined up in these territories, but just given the fact that we're on a European label now, that primarily gives a lot of press push in Europe and has very good connections in Japan. I mean, I flat out asked our label owner if he can help us get over to Europe this time around. We have a lot of fans in Europe. We have a lot of fans in Japan. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be playing there. You know, it's a lot of fans we want to reach out to.
Well, let's do this. If there are any agents or any representatives who can help out Celador in Europe or Japan, reach out to them. That's Facebook/Celador, CELLADOR, or it's a Celador Band on Twitter, right? I think we already established that.
Celador Band, yeah, and it used to be Celador Band on the Bandcamp, but I finally claimed that one. Maybe one of these days, I've been secretly watching twitter.com/Celador, hoping for them to give it up sometime so I can claim that. But yeah, it's Celador Band.
All right. Well, hey, you're on top of it, and that's a warning to whoever you are, Celador Band. Well, we know that you aren't really part of the scene. We're calling you out.
Funny story. I actually did talk to the old owner of facebook.com/Celador. It was some lady from a country it was like some really Eastern European country, like right by Russia. She was very nice. She gave us the rights to facebook.com/Celador. She's like, I'll change the username and then you can take it. So those things do happen.
Hey, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask. Celador on Metalix, Adobe Howl. The last track we heard off the new album Off the Grid is called Swallow Your Pride. It is my personal favorite. Talk about that track, and then the next one we'll go into here is called Off the Grid. It is the title track. Go ahead and talk about that one as well, and then we'll kill it. It's over after that.
Off the Grid, that's the very first song we recorded on this album. So when you listen to this album, track 5, that's the very first one that we started to kick off this the recording process of this album. First song I sang vocals on. The song we checked all the levels for in terms of the guitar amps and the gain settings on our interface, things like that, blah, blah, blah. So that was the guinea pig song. So that's the song that broke us in.
So this one's molded around you.
Yeah, it was the vocals. Yes, and you know what? I don't know if anybody else can hear it, but when I listen, I do really feel that there's sort of two distinct style of vocals that I'm doing on this album, and Off the Grid is like the more high-pitched style. But yeah, as mentioned, it was like the scientific experimental song that really established the vibe. It turned out great, and it was also the very first song that was mixed that gave us an idea of how the mix of the whole album was going to turn out, because like you mix one song, you know, and that's 90% of the work. So it was the song that really hyped us up for this release as well. I like it. It's a very single-styled song. It's one of the few mid-tempo range songs on the album. We may be making a video for it. It's kind of what we're veering towards. We will be having a video release soon. We're just taking a tally on what everybody's favorite songs are. So we now know Brad's favorite song is Swallow Your Pride. So we will take note of that. But Off the Grid is definitely in the top runnings to be the next single.
Who's Brad? I know Bilo from Metal Lakes, but who's Brad? Who's this Brad guy that I keep talking about?
It must be one of the cats.
Yeah. No, just kidding. I'm not that serious about the stupid about the nickname or whatever. But Bilo on Metalix, Adobe Howl. I feel like Bilo is a little more recognizable and rememberable than the name Brad. Necrophobicon has gone to great lengths to villainize the name Brad as well, and I feel like I shouldn't even give in to that.
Is Brad like Chad? Is that the new Chad?
Yeah, dude, it absolutely is. Let's hear the title track from Celador Off the Grid right now before we hear it. Chris, Nick, any final thoughts?
The album turned out phenomenal. The feedback has been phenomenal. I think this is absolutely going to be a new era for the band. We're very excited to see what sorts of things are going to be happening. We sound better than ever live. We do have a show already booked for everybody in Denver. We are supporting Yngwie Malmsteen, the one original.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's coming to the Summit Music Hall May 23rd. Tickets are already on sale. We can discount you if you buy them through us. We were allotted a small number of tickets that we could sell without any of the ticket fees that you get by going through the big guys. So check out our merch sites to get tickets for that show. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be one of our first shows in a very long time. One of the first shows, especially since the release of this album. So we will be playing a lot of songs off this new album. So if you enjoy it, try to make it to the show. It's going to be great.
Celador on Metalix, Adobe Howell. Hey, if I missed any tracks on the podcast, it's only because we talked for so long, and it was such a fascinating conversation, I'd rather bring that to you than some of the music, which you should definitely get directly from Celador. But this is the title track, Off the Grid. Thank you guys for being in studio tonight.
No problemo.
Thank you.
Chris and Nick. Nick was the one you just heard, and my name is Bilo on Metalix, Adobe Howell.